"Look at my hands and feet," Jesus said. Of all things, hands and feet. When the risen Christ appears to his terrified, disbelieving, and still wondering disciples, he offers his hands and feet as proof that he is indeed still alive. And when they look, they see the wounds where a brutal act had taken him from them. They see the holes where the nails had been, the bruises of his suffering. But surely they also saw everything he'd meant to them in life. They see the hands that had broken bread and fed a multitude, the hands that had mixed dirt with saliva and dabbed mud on the eyes of a blind man restoring his sight, the hands that gestured as he taught, the hands that gathered children to his side, the hands that reached out to touch lepers nobody else dared touch. When they look, they see the feet that had strolled along the beach, found them, and called them into a life they never would have imagined for themselves. They see the calloused feet that had traveled dusty miles with them, that climbed the mount of his transfiguration, the feet that walked into the homes of tax collectors and sinners, the feet that had been bathed in the tears and dried with the hair of a woman who anointed him for his death. Now he offers these hands, these feet, as proof that he is very much alive, proof they apparently needed because, as Luke tells it, it took three incidents before the disciples were able to grasp the reality of his bodily resurrection. There had been the report carried by the feet of the women who fled from the empty tomb, which the rest of them dismissed as an idle tale. And the encounter with a stranger who met a couple of them on the road, engaged them in a conversation about the scriptures, and in the act of breaking bread, opened their eyes to see him as the risen Christ. Now the rest of the disciples, the 11, are talking about all of this. Luke describes them as terrified and confused as they try to make sense of it all, wondering what to believe, who to trust, when Jesus shows up again. Of course, fear and doubt show up too. Spooked at the sight of him, they thought they were seeing a ghost. In spite of the previous reports of his resurrection, still they could not grasp it, dared not believe it, would not trust it. So he offers his hands and feet as his flesh and bones as proof, takes a piece of broiled fish and eats it before their eyes, opens their minds to understand that from now on his death and resurrection will be the lens through which they will interpret all that he had told them in life, all that had been written in the scriptures, and all that they were about to experience. Hands and feet, flesh and bone, fish on his breath, words on the pages of scripture, the sound of his voice, every sensory receptor receives the undeniable evidence that God's story is still very much alive. We learn best when all of our senses are engaged. So Jesus works with a fear and doubt in the room, with the witness of his body that they experience with all their senses. Of course, you can see and touch his hands and feet with your own eyes and hands and still go on living in fear. You can taste and smell the proof he offers and still stay behind closed doors. You can hear the words of Scripture and your life can go on untouched and unchanged. So Jesus gives his disciples then and now a purpose. You are witnesses of these things, he says. In a novel called Peace Like a River, Leif Anger writes, "No miracle happens without a witness, someone to declare, 'Here's what I saw, here's how it went, make of it what you will.'" So in their joy and disbelieving, the disciples become witnesses who will move from cowardice to courage, from doubt to fear, from fearful silence to bold proclamation in word and in deed. I wonder what it would take for that to happen for us today. In her book, Christianity for the Rest of Us, Diana Butler Bass writes, "Contemporary Western culture is marked by a sense of dislocation, the feeling of being lost in the universe without hope. There is radical individualism, aimlessness, consumption, fragmentation, and forgetfulness. In this context, we know that people everywhere long to experience the things of Jesus, even if they wouldn't name their need that way. Everywhere, there are people who are afraid and who hold in tension deep questions and profound doubts. Everywhere, people are searching for meaning in life, doing the best they can, and perhaps facing big challenges in marriages, in raising families, in retirement, in aging. Everywhere, there are people who are lonely or suffering, those who have been hurt by life, maybe even wounded by the church. So when people like these look around for proof of God's love, evidence of the risen Christ alive and on the loose, creating new life in the world, they look at us, not at our faces, no matter how sincere, not at our eyes, no matter how soft and loving, not at our buildings, and not only what we do within these walls, but at our hands and our feet. What we have done with them, where we have gone with them. Proof that Jesus is alive and the work of the kingdom of God continues. Your hands and feet are everywhere, Crossroads. Lifted in prayer and praise, feeding the hungry, housing the homeless, tutoring children, visiting the sick in places nearby and places very far away. This morning, I want us to think for a minute about the purpose in all this activity of our hands and our feet. Purpose has to do with why. It would be interesting to ask each of you why it matters to you that you are a Christian, and why you do whatever you do in the name of Jesus. What is the bodily evidence you have received that makes Jesus matter to you? We may all have different ways of saying it, but I imagine we'd find some common threads among us, that we find in following Jesus meaning and purpose beyond ourselves, that experiences of authentic Christian community give us a sense of belonging, a sense of hope and of home in God, that the stories of the Bible shed light on our lives, light that we need in order to be at peace with ourselves and in our world, that we can't heal or save ourselves, and we need the love and forgiveness that come from knowing Jesus, that we want our lives to matter because we've made a difference for good in Jesus' name in the world. But here's the part that some of us forget, especially if we've been hanging around the church for most of our lives, that it matters because who we are, what we do with our hands, and where we go with our feet is life-changing stuff. Our purpose, church, is changing lives, as the VBS reveal reminded us. Or maybe a better way to put it is that we create the conditions in which God changes lives, because we can't do it. In any case, it happens as we build relationships that connect others to the healing and salvation we find in the Jesus we know. I want to share just a couple of examples from churches I have known that have been intentional about this relationship building that changes lives. My friend Jennifer noticed that the contents of her church's food pantry shelves had dwindled, and so she reached out to the circle of her Facebook friends, both church friends and those who don't go to church, and asked them to give food for the sake of their community. The response was swift and abundant. Food poured in from church and community members alike, and the food pantry shelves filled. But this is not the end of the story. Jen noticed that some of the moms in her Facebook feed were talking on Facebook about their kids' attachment to stuff and screens. The moms were lamenting the curved in upon themselves behaviors of children that squelch compassion and generosity. They wanted their kids to have the experience of serving others. Jen saw a sweet spot between what these moms wanted for their families and her church's desire to build relationships that could change lives. So Jen and the church created a family mission club that brought moms and kids together once a month for projects of service to benefit others. They connected with people of the community around this common need rather than around what the church was wanting to do. Purpose meets passion in the hands of Jesus, alive and on the loose, changing lives. For a church I once served in Ontario, New York, a grant got our feet moving toward our community with life-changing purpose. When we received money that had to be used to connect the church with the community beyond our walls, we put together a dream team and began to consider what we could do to find our sweet spot. We explored a whole bunch of options, and when we learned that many people in our community struggled with high levels of stress and were looking for ways to experience more peace and delight at the center of their souls, the circle of recreation was born. Some of the church's members had found spiritual transformation in Christ through walking a labyrinth. We wondered if this could be a tool for connecting our experience of Jesus with the people of our community, many of whom wouldn't come to us as a church. We created a labyrinth ministry that took the church to them. We used some of the grant money to purchase a portable canvas labyrinth, trained church members to serve as facilitators, began practicing with the labyrinth at church, and then took it on the road. We took it to schools, where teachers walked for wellness and students got passes out of study hall to walk the labyrinth as part of their preparation for finals. It was powerful to hold the space in prayer as kids walked in clumps, holding hands. They sat for a good long time in the center, not only settling down for exams, but also contemplating their upcoming graduations when they would leave each other behind and move into an unknown future. Once we took the labyrinth to a rehab center where I watched a woman walk that long and circuitous path with a walker. She later told me she walked the longest distance yet on the labyrinth because it helped her focus on putting one foot in front of the other until she reached the center. Imagine if we lived our lives that way, how far we could go. As we worked from our sweet spot, the congregation's experience of Jesus changed too. I'll never forget our Maundy Thursday tradition in which we served communion in the labyrinth. As I carried the chalice filled with juice and made the long journey to the center, my hands and feet carried me into a deeper reflection on the journey of Jesus to the cross. Purpose meets passion in the feet of Jesus on the loose, alive and changing lives. This is what I've seen. This is what it meant to me. Make of it what you will. And ask yourself, where is your sweet spot, Crossroads? Where is the intersection between your bodily experience of Jesus and the needs of the communities we seek to serve? This is a question worth asking, especially as we process the data from the Holy Cow assessment. And it does matter, because we are now the witnesses of the things of Jesus that can change lives in our world. Recently, I've been watching a new TV show called The Good Doctor. It's about a young man with autism who wants to be a surgeon. He is both uniquely gifted and uniquely challenged by his autism as he pursues his calling in life. They got me on the very first episode when the members of the hospital board, in fear and with much doubt, struggle with whether or not to accept Sean into the program. Would he be an asset or a liability? They got me when they asked him, "Sean, why do you want to be a surgeon?" And he made this statement from his childhood. "My bunny and my brother went to heaven in front of my eyes. It's sad. I couldn't save them," he said. "Neither one had the chance to become an adult. They should have become adults. They should have had children of their own and loved those children. And I want to make that possible for other people." Wow. When you hear a purpose statement like that, that clear, that compelling, that grounded in someone's bodily experience, it gets your attention. And when you see it brought to life through somebody's hands and feet, well, that is the most powerful witness of all. Why does it matter to you that you are a Christian? How can we together change lives as we make the risen Christ known? The answer is what we do with our hands and where we go with our feet. Purpose plus passion equals powerful witness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.